Lawrence Drive-In Double Feature presents 1 Minute with Blood Lake and Iced. All right, everyone, it's Dan, and this is the 31st episode of 1 Minute with Blood Lake and Ice, minute-by-minute journey through two great late 80s slashers, 1987's Blood Lake, 1988's Iced. When we left the Blood Lake gang, they were all out. Well, not all of them. I forgot her name. Kim and Brian were doing some sunbathing back on the shore. But the rest of the gang, including those two guys who, Steve and Steve, the two Steves, the friends of Becca's that are there, they're all in the boat and they are water skiing. And now, finally, Susan is going to try water skiing with a little goading from little Tony. I suppose you could get a lot of goading from little Tony, but in this case, it's just a little goading from little Tony. So let's see if Susan goes water skiing in this minute.
Leave your skis after you get out.
All you have to do is keep your feet straight, your knees bent, and let the boat pull you up. Don't try to stand up too soon, okay?
Okay, is that all?
Yeah, your balance will take care of itself once you get up.
Good luck, baby.
Tear 'em up, Susan.
Well, jump in. You can ski better in the water. Put the skis on. Your feet aren't big enough to barefoot it.
What?
Nothing. Just put the skis on.
Some suspense, huh? Does she got the rope? Doesn't she got the rope? You'll find out next minute if she does. What we did not get this minute was her actually water skiing, which I thought might happen for a movie whose last 6 minutes have had 4 of those minutes consist of people water skiing. You think they would have got her on the skis faster. And poor little Tony, you know. Folks are sort of giving that sort of sad laugh at the things he says, but I guess is he flirting in this? I don't know. It's just, if she can't hear half of what he's saying, I don't know, does it count? I don't know, and if we can hear it, should we be writing it all down and learning how to use it ourselves? The power, the magic, the wonder of little Tony. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, what happens in this minute? Pretty much what you heard. The first 40 seconds are giving Susan instructions, getting her in the water. The last 20 seconds is one long shot of the boat slowly going around her as they toss her the skis, then they toss her the rope. She does get the skis. Whether or not she gets the rope, again, not going to tell you. I do look at one point. We've had some strange sort of mic placement and things throughout here where, you know, like when they ate, last night when they ate, you know, and the microphone, it seemed like it should have been on one group of people, but it seemed like they put it on everyone. And, you know, this Robert Altman, this ain't. But there's an interesting moment here, and I can't quite tell what Becca says, but as right near the end of the minute, she yells instructions at Susan. And, yeah, I can't hear him. I mean, the camera is on shore. The camera's like, I don't know how far away the camera is from it, but you get a really good view of, like, the lake there. A lot of trees, houses. I still don't really see anyone, which is weird, but I'm sure we'll see people soon. All right, what else happens this minute? Yeah, little Tony is, he's strange, but lovable. And, yeah, okay. So I like the fact that Becca gives Susan these instructions, and then Susan says, is that all? And then that's all, your balance will take care of the rest. And it's like, you hear those instructions and it's like, okay, just remember, keep your feet straight, keep your knees bent, let the boat pull you up, don't try to pull yourself up or whatever. Okay, is that it? And I thought, I'm hoping you remember that, Susan. And two, I think it's gonna be a little tougher than she says. Those when someone who's very good at something like that, it's like roller skating or ice skating. How about that? You know, someone who's good at ice skating can tell you, you know, oh, you just do this and do that and do that. Do this and this and that. Okay, I'll do that. On your ass. Okay, I got this and this. On your ass. Now, you have to remember, you're doing this and this, but you have to remember to do that in conjunction with this. Oh, I got it. Is that all? Yep, your balance will do the rest. All right, here I go. I said, on my ass. And I feel like in the next minute, Susie's going to fall on her ass or sink into the water, whatever the heck happens to water skiers who can't get up on the skis right. So that was going to become innuendo, that sentence, for a moment. But what kind of innuendo would it have been? Yeah, so they're about to, Susan's about to water ski. I would have thought she would have sort of joined in this time around, but she didn't, not at all. But, you know, I've never been water skiing. That's why those instructions that Becca gives seem horribly complicated, even though it's only like three things in the mention of balance that she talks about. To me, it seems like it's going to be one of those things. Yeah, she's going to fall down a lot. So, but what else have we got? Yeah. That's about it, really. I mean, what can you say? The previous minute was lots of water skiing. This minute is setting someone up to do some water skiing. Presumably, she will water ski in the next minute. Presumably. You never can tell with Bloodlake. Yeah, I've never been water skiing. I mean, I've been out on boats and on, you know, on... we used to have a Budnick family cottage. Our insignia was like a skunk. I'm not sure why that was. That's the, I think I may have told this before, it was a cottage on Sodus Bay. I don't even know where that is in New York State. I'd have to look up to see where it is. But it was right near the bay, and, you know, we had a dock and like a boathouse and a boat, and we would fish, and we would go out in the water, and we would swim, and all sorts of fun. And this was the, and this is a slight tangent, but what else is there to say about the minute when Susan is told how to water ski, and then they throw her skis in a rope? I was going to say this is the cottage was built. The cottage was purchased a long time ago. I think they finally gave it up in the. We went there throughout the late 70s and the 80s. I think the family finally gave it up in the like the late 90s, and it was generally my grandfather and his mother. My great grandmother would go up there most often during the summer. For some reason, my grandmother rarely went up there, and for the first I don't know when they bought it. I think it was sometime in the 60s, but for like the first 5 years or so, there was no running water, so they didn't have like you know, a proper bathroom. They did by the time we got there, but they so what they did was there was a shed, and the shed had all the garden tools and the games, the bocce ball, the jarts, all the fun stuff, but then right there, like a throne in the center of the shed, and it was a regular shed, was like a big green painted box with a toilet seat on top. And a roll of toilet paper next to it. And that was where you went. You did your business. Now, I never used to go. And it was just a big deep hole. Deep hole. Deep hole. And I never... No. I never used it. If you guys heard me on Podcast Mania when I told the story of last year when we had the bathroom remodeled and we had to use a porta potty out in our front driveway. Front driveway, like we have a back driveway. Well, you might. The porta potty stories. I do not like porta potties. I don't like going in them. I don't know if it's, you know, seeing Diddle killed in one in House of Death or seeing that gal drowned in one in Sleepaway Camp 2. I'm not in for it. No. I'm not there. But the funny thing was, of course, my grandfather would use it, and he just got into the habit. He used it so often, he just got into the habit of using it. So you would like you'd be doing something and the kids would be like, hey, let's go get the jarts. All right, you'd run up to the shed and you put your hand on the handle and you'd hear, don't come in here. And like it was always locked. Well, generally it was locked, but it was like, what's Grandpa doing? Oh, he's using the bathroom. There's a bathroom in the shed where you keep your jarts. Well, you know, it's an old outhouse kind of thing. Why does he use that? Don't you have a toilet? We do. And that just, I think, up until they sold a cottage or he passed, it was always just like, I'm going to go to the shed. Is Grandpa in there taking one? He might be. Just keep your eye on the door. And then you kind of hide behind a bush and peer around it. Then a few minutes later, Grandpa would step out, take a big stretch and head back into the house. And you'd think, I love him, but that's a little goofy. So that's my outhouse at the old in the old shed by the old cottage near Soda's Bay story. It has nothing to do with water skiing, but it does have to do with sort of a vacation-y cottage that we used to have. Speaking of vacation, iced. The gang is almost all assembled apart from Eddie, and we left Carl and Corey sort of lounging on top of one another post... can you be post-coital after skiing? Well, that's what they're doing, and they're sitting and talking, and I think hookers were mentioned at one point, and I think the last thing we heard was Corey laughing, but don't stick me to that. Let's see what they're up to.
Oh, man, no, come on, cut it out. We got to deal with this real estate guy.
Come on, sit back. Oh. Woo! Hey, wait up, you turkey. Woo-hoo!
But you're a million miles away.
All right, you turkeys, what are you up to? Yeah, so we finally see Alex in here, and we... Okay, here's... No, I won't. Okay, no, there's something in the minute. No, I won't do it. There's something in this minute that much later, I will reference again. I'm not going to tell you if you've seen the movie, and you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't seen the movie and you're sort of watching it along here, you might not yet know what I'm talking about. And if you're only listening to it, it's only a visual, because you do see Alex. Who's Jeff? Is there a Jeff in this movie? Who am I thinking of? Jeff, of course, died. When you see Alex, he's doing some, crunching some numbers at his desk. And I'm going to go over his desk. They kind of pan over everything at his desk. I'm just going to cover what's on his desk sort of in a moment. But, what was I saying? Oh, sure. Yeah, and Alex has sort of a moment where he kind of stares into space, and you see Jeff fall off the cliff. It's like, whoa, hey, what the heck? And the thing that makes it sort of doubly what the heck is we have just cut from the forest, where we see, when the music goes all ominous and Corey yells, hey, you turkey, or whatever it is, we see that someone is watching them through a cracked ski visor. Might be Jeff, and he kind of slams his ski pole into the ground, and then we cut to the scene. But let me just go through by minute here. But let me just... go at the start of the minute and go mark my way through. It starts off with the guys, Corey and Carl, getting up. And speaking of Jeff and his strangeness. And then, we got to go deal with the real estate guy. And they take off, and that person is watching them. Oh, boy. So then we go into Alex's office. And the first sort of shot we get, I'm just going to go through it just so we can get a little background on Alex. So we get the crazy guy stabbing the ski pole into the ground. It doesn't look terribly effective. But then you immediately cuts to just some photos. Looks like family photo and sort of a lodge type thing. It sort of looks a bit like the lodge that the gang is in, but not quite. And the camera pans along a desk, and you see a bunch of papers, manila envelopes. You see a little, like, porcelain sphinx-type character or something, a little plant. You see a snow globe with, like, a Christmas house in it. You see a lovely coffee mug, a Christmas coffee mug. Then you see a gentleman skiing in some sort of competition, and he has Utah on the front of his shirt. Then the camera sort of pans around. You see the lamp. You see... oh, it's an interesting lamp. Looks like a giant artichoke. And then you see a little snowman, Christmassy snowman, on the desk. And then there's Alex. And Alex is a good-looking guy with a nice sort of, business in front, party in the rear kind of haircut. And he's got a nice red tie suit. There's another picture of skiing going on behind him. And over on the to his right, we see sort of a poster board thing with a large snowflake and picture on it that will become more prominent in the next minute. So that's sort of his desk. And then about 47, 48 minutes into it, the music goes eerie. About 50 seconds, he kind of looks forward and we see Jeff falling off the thing. And then we see another shot, which I'm not going to talk to you about. And then suddenly a woman in a nice blue sweater shows up and scares the crap out of him. And that's sort of the minute. And right at the very end, you can see that poster board behind him says, "Welcome to Snow Peak." And that's their sort of fun little step back. It's weird. It's like a piece of poster board. It's blue. It says, "Welcome to Snow Peak" in white. There's a picture of one of the chalet things cut out like snowflake. Then beneath the chalet thing, there's another cutout snowflake. And next to that, there's another picture of a house, the mountain. It seems very low-key. But maybe it's a giant booklet. I can't quite tell. But that's it. There we are meeting. I guess this is the last element, the real estate agent who invited them all up. The last bit of this. I thought it's funny. Like I thought Susan was going to go water skiing in this minute of Blood Lake. I thought John and Diane were going to arrive. And that's their names, right? John and Diane were going to arrive at the place, and we'd all be together and start having some fun. But no, we take a little Alex and his. I assume his assistant or secretary. I'm not sure yet. We'll find out. I would imagine. I mean, he's just sitting there crunching some numbers, and you know, he looks nice. She looks nice. Everyone looks like they're having a good time. And I would say again, all those little Christmas doodads confirmed. It's the Christmas season, but I still stick with the theory that I think it's a couple days after Christmas. Maybe it's like the 27th, and they're there like the 27th to the 30th, because no one specifically mentions Christmas. And if you've got Christmas stuff up, like the wreath that's hanging on the front door of their chalet thing there, and all these little Christmassy doodads, I submit that at some point, if Christmas hasn't arrived yet, someone would mention it. They would have to. Now, granted, final exam... I have always thought final exam is set in the final exam week before a winter break, but no one mentions Christmas at all. As far as I know, I've seen that film on the big screen. I've seen it on VHS, DVD, Blu-ray. I've never seen them mention Christmas. But again, yeah, I think with I'm off on a tangent again. But yeah, with final exam, I think it's Christmas, holiday or winter break, simply because. The sort of implication with Courtney that her and Lisa are sort of there possibly for their first semester. You kind of get that feeling. Just the way Lisa says, "I'm ready to return to the big city. You know, enough of this." Like, as you know, if you know, she acts as if she's saying it as if she hasn't been there in a long time. And so, like, this is the end of the first time she's doing this, and she's ready for this to end so she can get back to the big city. But the big thing is when we see friends of theirs packing everything up, and Courtney says something like, "Oh, it looks like you're leaving, Ed. All depends on what our grades were." Well, if it was the end of the spring term, everyone would be leaving for the summer. Everyone would be leaving. Everyone. You don't say to someone who's packing up all their stuff in May or June, going away for 3 or 4 months, you don't say, "Looks like you're packing up and leaving. Are you coming back?" Well, of course I'm coming back, but I'm not going to be here for 3 or 4 months, and I'll be in a different room. And you say that to, yeah, you know, you guys know what I mean. So I know that was a bit of a tangent. This is a tangent-filled episode. It's a weekend. I'm relaxing here. But yeah, I sort of get the same. That doesn't mention Christmas, but I feel like it is a Christmas. But this has all this Christmas paraphernalia around, but no one's mentioning it. So I say it's in between Christmas and New Year's. It's a day or two after Christmas. Although no one says Merry Christmas to one another when they see each other. Well, we'll have to keep an eye on that. So that's Blood Lake. That's Iced. Maybe in the next minute, all the gang will assemble. Maybe in the next minute, Susan will go water skiing. I don't know. I'll tell you something you will hear in the next minute. You'll hear this.